This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call in. Time to start free bowling.
Another day, another free bowling. Welcome to free bowling.
I thought you froze for a second then, bro. I was like, no. We've been talking for a good half an hour. Technology, don't fail me now.
No. I was just taking that deep breath and letting it out.
Letting it out because, you know, you got to...
Yeah, man.
There's me and you in the real world, and then there's me and you on freeballing. This is our safe...
Yes.
This is a safe space. Come in here with your controversial thoughts, your inappropriate thoughts. Don't be saying
this. This is our sanctuary.
Shit. Yeah, like, yeah. There's still so
this is our sanctuary. This is our Shangri-La.
Shangri-La. Our fortress of broditude.
Fortress of broditude.
Where there's like, you know, you've got like movies that are just streaming the good shit, TV streaming the good shit, fridges for the good shit.
Yeah, man. I mean, speaking of good shit, we have... So much good shit to look forward to. So much good shit. All right, let's get into these trailers, bro. There's been so many trailers in the last week that I've just... But I feel like the biggest one, because it has broken fucking YouTube records, man. And it is crazy.
We have to start here.
Let's talk GTA 6.
Just before we talk about how just great the trailer was, everyone copied this, like, purple, orange... landscape mm-hmm. photo. Everyone that had something to announce within the last week saw what Rockstar had done with their post for GTA 6 and was like, yo, that shit's like trending. It's like, copy my homework, but don't make it obvious. Everyone made it obvious.
And I feel like the idea is like, oh, it's the color scheme. The color scheme is what's getting everybody. No, it's the fact that it's a new Grand Theft Auto game that has been, what, a decade in the making, was just announced, and the trailer looks fucking sick. And I just right off the bat, my favorite part about the trailer is the return to Vice City.
Yes, I thought we were going a brand new map, like, because I knew the leads, or at least one of the leads of the woman is Latino heritage. Latinx. And just the way people were describing the map through leaks and rumors, I thought it was going to be something like Cuba based.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I see this Vice City, I was like, actually, that makes more sense.
It's like, you obviously, if you played the original, you know, Grand Theft Auto Vice City, you know, it's basically Miami. So yeah. you know, when you say Cuban based, you're like right nail on the fucking head.
Cause... Yeah, I was close. People were close.
Miami is basically Cuba 2.0.
Yeah. it'd be nice to see how they expand upon the original. Mm-hmm. Like, people were looking at, like, that downtown Miami, like, the famous strip.
Yeah.
That, like, yeah. You know, CSI Miami used it, the boys used it, everyone uses it. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Going from what it was, GTA Vice City, to now, holy mm-hmm. fuck.
I mean, so I think the reason that it, like, really resonated with me, it's Grand Theft Auto Vice City was really the first Grand Theft Auto play game that I ever played. Mm. Like, I would just mess around with, and it was just,
I didn't get into Grand Theft Auto 4, cool. to be honest, but, like, I've done mm-hmm. my research, like, you know,
yeah.
YouTube is a fabulous place to mm-hmm. you know, see all the shit that you never had a chance to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's really cool, like, the way, well, I mean, in your OG Vice City, you know, it has, like, that, the 80s kind of feel to it, and it's yeah. got, like, this, like, Miami Vice kind of feel to it, which is really cool. So I'm very intrigued. It feels like you're walking away from, you know, the Miami Vice 80s aesthetic into, like, a more
Florida guy.
Sort of Miami, you know, very party heavy, and
there's a guy pissing ballers. On his lawn.
Like, that is Florida to a T, and I'm here for it. I'm excited.
Florida guy. Every time there's a hurricane in, like, being announced in Florida, I just look forward mm-hmm. to the one guy waving the flag while Slipknot's playing. Now it gets a bit too much, but the first guy that did it, he's a legend. The original Florida guy.
Florida guy.
Florida guy. But, like, going through the Everglades, that's going to be so much fun. Like, I've been to the Everglades, and, like, you know, it's once you get past, like, the big-ass fucking fan that's constantly making noise behind you, and the flies and mosquitoes mm-hmm. that are just, like, darts in your face, the Everglades is pretty cool.
Once you ignore everything else,
yeah,
it's pretty sweet. Once you wipe all the dead bugs from your fucking face, the Everglades is pretty sweet.
The Everglades is pretty sweet. and plus, why is that mammy so thick, though? Sheesh!
Bro, that's that Latina jeans, bro. That shit. Fucking Unreal Engine. It knows what it's doing, bro.
Damn.
It knows what it ain't fucking around. Dude, the curves on the women in this game. Fuck.
Like, as I saw a post today, the first thing I woke up to today is me and the boys loading up GTA 6 going to the strip club first thing. What else is there to do? Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good, really great game. I have my gripes about how long it's taken to come out. I honestly think that the campaign has been done for a while. I think the campaign's mm-hmm. been done for a while. I think the problem has been they didn't expect GTA Online to have such the lifespan that it's had. The problem is now, are they going to transfer everything from GTA Online now to GTA Online then? Do they want to combine mm-hmm. Los Santos and Vice City, like a travel aspect to it? And I think that's where the problem has been. We've got, like, the campaign's huge. That's what people are coming for. There's no mention of, like, right now it's Series X and PS5. Series S and Series mm-hmm. X. PS5. No mention of PC. No mention of GTA yeah. Online. You know it's going to be yeah. a huge thing. And I think that's why that's where the delay has been. Because, like, graphically, in some places, that trailer, I know it's unfinished. I know we're not getting it to 2025. But it kind of still looks a little bit too much like GTA 5, and we've expanded since then. If this shit has Bethesda loading screens going into buildings and in between missions and shit, I'm gonna be so pissed. And it's just gonna make me look forward to the Cyberpunk sequel and the next Witcher games, because CG Projekt Red, like, you know, given the time, given the money, you know, Cyberpunk was great. All it needed to do was not come out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right. So where do we want to go next? We got to end on the big one. Like, So let's, we've got three more to talk about.
We're still in the video game realm. Let's talk about the new video game inspired TV show. Fallout.
Yeah, man. Yeah, let's go to Fallout. That seems like a nice transition. And then that Amazon takes us into the other Amazon. So yeah, I like, this flows nicely. I know people grew up with GTA 6. I grew up with Fallout.
Mm-hmm. I think I've only ever played Fallout 3, I think.
New Vegas?
No, I never played Fallout New Vegas.
Bro, you've not even played what would be your favorite game of all time, in my opinion.
it's first person. First person isn't really.
You can set it to third person.
I did not know that.
I'm pretty sure every Fallout you can set to third person. Like Fallout 3.
It's janky as fuck,
and like the game struggles to load at times, but it does that in third person. It does that in first person as well.
Just blew my fucking mind. I had no idea that was a fucking option.
I don't know if that was because they've not done remasters yet. Like that was part of like the whole shit when Microsoft was buying Activision shit. For some reason, both PlayStation and Microsoft had to like sort of release their sort of like plans for the future, and in there was a whole bunch of Fallout shit that people deciphered. Yo, we're getting remasters. So if you don't know, Fallout takes place like it's in a universe where the transistor module was never made. So there was a moment in the 60s when computers went from being like that sort of ticky tap like green block lettering on a computer to what we know today pretty much. That was because of the transistor module. That doesn't happen. Cold War, nukes, war never changes. Ron Perlman. I hope Ron Perlman, like, give him a part or have him narrate. I need this man's voice. He is the voice behind Fallout. If like whenever you mention Fallout, someone will try and do war never change. You can't do Ron Perlman. You are not Ron Perlman. Leave it alone. But yeah, good quote. So it takes place so the bombs have fallen, and various of the games take place at different times. Like one of them, the series I think is the closest we're ever getting to the humans being able to come out of what is known as the Vault.
Mm-hmm.
So in all of the games, there's like it was basically like America had prepared for war, and there was these vaults all about America. There's like, I think they go to like 311 or some shit, but like some of them were actually like science experiments where like humans were turned into the super mutants, which weren't in the trailer. But like the trailer literally starts with like the mainstay of like the first little thing you ever fight is a rad roach, which is just a roach that's been irradiated and it's fucking huge. So I think it's like I'm looking forward to it. I think the production design, the costume design, holy moly. But why is everything so clean, Sebastian? Why do these motherfuckers look cleaner than me? In a future where you like washing machines can't be like electricity, literally isn't a thing in Fallout. Like everything's like nuclear powered and shit. So why are these motherfuckers so clean?
You know what got me when I first started watching it? It was like, I would say like the first 15 seconds, it feels very serious, right? Mm. And I feel like it kind of gives you like, it's kind of setting you up where it's like, oh, you know, it's a serious take on Fallout. And I'm like, okay, I haven't played enough of the games to really have that much of a thing. But like when I played, I do remember it being a little more tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. And then the tongue-in-cheek kind of makes its way in later in the trailer. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I see what you did there. And I respect it.
I sincerely hope Fallout fans of the game are more open to a Fallout series than the game fans of The Last of Us. I know if they make a few changes to Last of Us 2, like actually in some cases, if there aren't some changes made to Last of Us Season 2, there will be riots.
Yeah.
Especially, like, I'm not going to talk about one of the spoilers, but we can talk about Abby. Mm-hmm. I think if you, like, I know Neil Druckmann was like, he was very adamant that, like, this was the game I wanted to make. If you've got a problem, that's a you problem. I know he's very, but like, there's more fans now. There are a lot more fans now. I think.
Yeah, but I feel like it's still that thing of like, you know, like, you know, like you said, this is the game that I set out to make, and this is the story that I wanted to tell. And you know, if you like it, great. If you don't, well, you know, I don't know what to tell you. And I feel like that's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you have that much of a problem with a story, then go make your own fucking story.
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
this is the story I want to tell. This is how I want to tell it. You can watch it. You don't have to.
I just hope people are in for a smashing experience with season two.
Yeah, you know, that's honestly, I honestly, that's a great way to transition. Because speaking of smashing,
The Boys.
Oh, The Boys. Oh my God.
If they're doing with Black Noir what I think they're doing, people are not prepared.
I honestly, man, after Gen V, the hype for this next season of The Boys is really strong. Fucking Jeffrey Dean Morgan, dude.
I love this guy.
He's
a Seahawks fan. Of course I love this guy.
I just love that the last moment in this trailer is him making fun of the code name The Boys.
The Boys? Who the fuck thought of that shit?
That's so fucking funny. And I'm definitely looking forward to, like, one of the things that I've always loved about The Boys is the way it kind of like brings in, you know, obviously like real life political issues in a way that makes sense for, you know, for the superhero world, and the idea of like this.
I love that whole Pepsi thing with Kendall Jenner. That was huge.
Like, it's not even a subtle divide. Like, there is a massive divide between people where, you know, you believe Starlight or you believe Homelander, that kind of thing. Yeah. Which I think is going to be really interesting, especially when you saw the last season. You saw that this motherfucker was basically given the green light by people to be himself. Mm. And that's truly horrifying.
I think you're right. Honestly, I think it, like, an unchained Homelander is just the key to so much shit.
Because one of the last images in the trailer is this motherfucker just covered in blood and guts, and then he starts to smile, and you're like, this man is, he's going, this man's already at a crazy level. I don't know how you top it, but he's going to.
Well, I don't think he's going to top it. I don't know what one of the, I know one of them's called Firecracker.
Uh-huh.
And she's the she's like the leader of this like podcast called Truth Bomb, and she's actually one of the actresses from The Following, if anyone saw that with Kevin Bacon. She plays like a wannabe serial killer. When she gets the chance, she kind of chokes. But like, she's a really good actress. She does that whole, there's a good chance for her to do sort of, I remember her face from The Following. Just, there's like shots with her in a close up, and she has that Anthony Starr kind of look where she'll just like, just that sly smile that's just so psychotic. And you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Like, she can do that. And then there's that woman that Homelander's speaking to. She's one of the other new soups. And according to Eric Kripke, like, they're going to bring a whole new level of like shithousery is what I want to call it.
Yeah. Shithousery. Love it.
But like, I love how, like, have you heard how they're doing Gen V boys? So Gen V,
yeah, hand, so it's like hand, a passing
hands off to the boys. Boys is going to pass off to Gen
and
V,
hands up, yeah,
and so on and so forth. And I love that shit. I just hope that, like, you mentioned the divide between Starlight and Homelander. I hope they don't do that between their fans. It's like, I'm fans of Gen V, but the boys can go fuck yourself. No, I'm the fan of the boys. Gen V can go fuck yourself. Like, just fighting in Twitter and Instagram and shit. When does the Gen V start again? I'm sick with this other shit.
I feel like there's always that risk when you do shit like that. Like, when you look at the shows that the CW is doing, you know, Flash, Arrow, fucking Legends and all that, and Supergirl and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like even when they had, like, you have your core fans of all of them, I'm pretty sure each show had their own, like, subset of fans who were, like, shitting on the other ones. You know, like,
yeah.
Just,
you know, it's going to happen when Star Wars movies start coming out. He's like,
I
like your shows a lot better. It's like, well, go watch the shows then. No one's telling you to watch the shows.
There's no gun to your head, you fucking prick.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. 20 minutes late? That's jazz time, man. Those movies have taken a long time to come out, and they better be good.
You know, speaking of movies that take a long time to come out. Let's wrap up on this last one, because this last one's a lot bigger than people think. And
it is a lot bigger than people think.
Chicken Run 2.
I was looking forward to this movie until the news came out that they used so much clay on this movie that the clay company that supports Aardman is, because of financial difficulties, is no longer going, and have literally given their last lot to Aardman, and Aardman have come out and said, there's just enough, we think, to finish the next Wallace & Gromit movie, but then that's probably it. And I'm like, please no. Like, now I regret how many little short movies of Shaun the Sheep we fucking got. I hate that little fucker now. That little fucker and all of its little short movie Christmas, actual, honest to God, feature-length movies as well. I'm pretty sure there was two, at least maybe three of them motherfuckers that I never saw, that no one I know saw. And I don't think they're hidden on the DVD shelves where I'm going to see them one day and be like, these motherfuckers happened? Like, no, I knew they happened. They were on big-ass fucking billboards in my cinema. I just never went to see them. Along with Lyle fucking Crocodile, whatever the fuck that was. I know that wasn't Aardman, but I see a lot of billboards in my cinema, and I'm like,
what the fuck is that?
What the fuck is this? What the fuck is going on? Like, I literally, sometimes I walk into my cinema, and I'm like Gandalf. I'm like, I have no memory of this place. And then you see, like, the poster for, like, a Marvel movie or some shit, Godzilla times Kong or Chicken Run 2, and I was like, something... Yeah. Is about to happen that hasn't happened since the Elder Days. And then the Ents wake up and shit, and the boys start coming back to the cinema, and there's nachos and drink. Oh shit. I just want cinema to be healthy, man. Chicken Run 2. How much of the clay did they fucking need to use, man? Like,
I mean, so when I first saw the trailer, I was skeptical. I'm very skeptical.
I'm skeptical about the whole idea.
So, I mean, it's that thing of, like, you know, you see movies that have cult followings and have sequels come out decades later, you know, fucking Dumb and Dumber 2. Most recently, Good Burger 2, which I haven't seen. I want to, despite...
Did that come out already?
Yeah, that came out already.
Oh, that must have done dog shit, because I knew it was happening, like, at some point this year.
Well,
I didn't think it already happened. Holy moly.
Yeah, no, it was going to be, like, a streaming exclusive thing.
Oh, right, so, okay. So,
So for me, it's like, again, it didn't do well critically, so for me, it's that the idea of, you have this movie that you love so much, and you're like, I would love to see a sequel, but, you know, probably never get it. And then you get it 10, 15, 20 years later, and you're like, I don't know. And I watched the trailer, and it looks funny.
Can't we say that about GTA, though? When, like,
yeah,
there's a whole generation of kids that are now, like, sort of realizing they have to go get their parents to get, the new one. And then this one is like, oh, like, cash or credit card. That's not the whole point of getting the game. Like,
and I think for me, like, there's some, like, I love the original Chicken Run. Like, that was a really good movie. So I have high expectations, and I love Aardman. I love Wallace and Gromit. And like you said, the fact that this movie effectively has set the nail up for the coffin of Aardman is it blows my mind.
I think, and I said it well in our pre-production meeting, that if this movie doesn't do well and Wallace and Gromit is affected by it, people will never forgive this movie.
You can't, because, like, as much as Chicken Run is, you know,
same year.
As much as Chicken Run it was a great movie. My heart belongs with Wallace and Gromit. Wallace and Gromit and Aardman. And if, like you said, if we're screwed out of Wallace and Gromit because of Chicken Run, I'd be really upset. I would be really bummed out. Fucking Chicken Run wasn't worth it.
Wallace and Gromit made me legit scared of penguins. And that motherfucker didn't say anything. All he did was just, like, you know when people were, like, doing these, like, Game of Thrones of, like, who's neutral good, who's lawful good? Like, I saw one of those, like, for Wallace and Gromit, and just chaotic evil was the penguin.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
That man is, like, that thing, it was just pure chaos. Penguin, that animal.
That penguin.
That piece of clay. Was all it did was look. And I'm like, yo, the fuck are you looking at, man? Like, trying to throw flippers. Like,
I will go full Vulcan on you, bro. I will make this a fair fucking fight. Let's go.
But speaking of shit that I grew up with and I kind of, like, I hope doesn't get a sequel or any kind of reboots, brings me to where we're going after the break. We're going to be ranking the OG American Pie movies.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sir. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
And we're back.
Yes, we are. For them, it was mere seconds. For us, it's been a minute.
All right, so just before we went to the break, you know, you were talking about movies, a series of movies.
Yes.
That you don't want touched. You don't want rebooted. You want redone. And just classics in the best possible way. American Pie.
I think now, classics for me and you. I like, me and you have more, hold these movies more fondly than I think most people do. I'm right there with you. For me, classics. Even like the spin-offs, I hold, you know, at least two of them, I hold close to my heart.
Same.
Like, okay. But every single one of these movies of the flagship American Pies, I've had a good time with. I saw them at like the right time in my life.
Yeah.
And it's just getting to the point now where I'm hearing a lot of slander from people that I think haven't even seen the movies. People I used to know that watch them aren't like ready to rewatch them anymore. And I'm just like, well, damn.
I think the problem is the movies are definitely of their time.
Mm-hmm.
They're of their time. And you think about the way comedy in general has gone through this change in the last few years with, you know, with everything going on, with the way people...
Most recently, you know, with Matt Rife, meteoric rise, currently going through this meteoric fall.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the jokes that, you know, are in the movie aren't really jokes you can necessarily get away with nowadays, and you know, without some kind of scrutiny. But with that being said,
there's literally statutory rape in American Pie 1.
Yeah, is there?
Allison Hannigan on Jim at the end. That's statutory rape. She fucks him She fucks him when they're both drunk. You know, when he says, I got used. Yeah,
it was a consensual thing. In this country,
it's still statutory rape.
Well, that's the thing. He said he was used because of it. We'll get to it when we talk to it about American Pie 1, but like,
yeah, we've got to start with rank 4. Before we get into this, this was the first list we'd ever done where we completely agreed. We completely agreed, but I had, I've got like an essay's worth of notes. I had so many afternoon.
I spent
a good hour writing about these. It got me to the point where I was like, after this, we might need to do like a freeboard in like .com blog kind of thing. That maybe like once per week I write for, you write for, we just chat shit about anything. I don't know, maybe we could start that. Just something like freeballing, let's expand from the podcast. But yeah, number 4, we've both got American Pie the Wedding, 2003, the IMDb rating. I think this was a nice touch because it's nice to know like where IMDb ranks these movies.
Yeah.
But I think we nailed it with American Pie the Wedding. It is the lowest ranked of the flagships at 6.3.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got in my notes here that I kind of wanted a bit more of a bachelor party, but that would have taken away from a bit of the wedding. Maybe a bachelor, like an American Pie bachelor party, should have been a spin-off or its own movie. It has moments, but the big thing for me is like, how does this cast feel too big with Oz missing?
Mm-hmm.
It felt like that we were going from way too many, like, I know the A story is like sort of Jim growing up, getting ready to actually be a husband, the same with I can never remember Allison Hannigan's character's name.
Michelle,
thank you. And Michelle kind of doing the same, but at like they're working at their own speeds, they kind of back to and fro. Which kind of felt like everyone else was just put to the side. And there was like a B story, there was a C story, there was a D story. And like, it just felt like a movie like against itself at times, especially with the whole Finch and Stifler thing, which kind of does pay off in American Pie Reunion. But I just think for me in The Wedding, it was just one of those things. It was like, oh yeah, Finch and Kevin are in this movie.
I definitely feel like Finch was getting more to do. I feel like Kevin was just there to be there. Because like you look at it, the way Kevin's role in 1 and 2, he's way more prominent. He's effectively the leader of the group in the first two. And he comes to this, he's relegated to a sidekick essentially. And even then it
doesn't get any better in American Pie Reunion.
Like the most that he gets to do is in the bachelor party, and even then it's not a lot. Like he spends a majority of that bachelor party tied up in a closet.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's a movie that I feel like gives way too much into to Jim and to Stifler, which I get, especially coming from American Pie 2. It feels so for American Pie 1, it feels like the center of the story is Kevin, because he is, again, the leader of the group. He's the one who enacts the pact and everything. He's the one with the girlfriend. And then coming into 2, Jim, we kind of see Jim kind of slowly take over. The focus is put on him, his relationship with Michelle.
American Pie 2 wouldn't even happen without Kevin and his brother, though.
Exactly. Stifler.
Well, it's like...
Oh, no, yeah, you're
right. Kevin gets the idea
Kevin and you,
through Casey Affleck. Yeah. Go, you know, go into my room,
and then
look at my old photos.
The Book of Love, me, that kind of stuff.
That was me. That was me and my boys. Greatest holiday we've ever had.
And then from there, you know, having them put front and center in this one, they work as a couple. They work as a couple, but don't it feels like giving so much to Stifler felt like it kind of took away, like you said. You know, Oz wasn't there, so that was a big thing. Kevin's kind of in the background, not really doing anything. You have this rivalry between Finch and Stifler where they've effectively switched personalities because
to try and get Michelle's sister.
Which works in certain aspects, but I think ultimately, you know, it's a movie where Stifler has to mute himself for a majority of the movie. It just doesn't fit. And there's just, I mean, aside from that, there's a lot of moments in this movie that I love. That are really great. The opening at the restaurant is fucking hilarious.
Yes.
To me. It's always the, especially the moment when Eugene Levy pulls him out of the restaurant and you just see his bare ass. It's like, oh, your penis.
Son, your penis.
Penis. And Michelle just shyly comes out from under the table. They're like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then there's obviously, you know, the chocolate truffle scene.
Yeah.
And
there's a chocolate truffle scene in this movie. Moving on.
but I think because there's so many glaring issues with it.
It's a movie of moments.
I think that's why it's at the bottom for us, because it like you said, it's a movie of moments. And
I definitely feel like American Pie Wedding was definitely warranted.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I just feel like this movie, like the wedding process is huge.
Yeah,
and to like, you know, being surrounded by two, like most recently, like very close to me, my very close friends, just the amount of shit that goes in. Like, yes, you know, it's worthy of a comedy. Yes, we have, like, wedding movies that have done well. But, like, you know, we had a whole, like, we had seasons of build-ups towards, like, even one of the weddings in How I Met Your Mother. And even then, it was, you know, it was subverted. You thought it was such and such. It was actually, no, it was actually this motherfucker. And we were like, what? Like,
one of which also featured Allison Hannigan.
True. Well, bitch. No. Yeah. So, American Pie, the wedding is like, you know, if I'm rewatching American Pie, I could skip the wedding.
Yeah, it's. I mean, you kind of get it. You don't necessarily need it.
I feel like the biggest note, the thing that is in bold. Oz in here.
It's crazy because like you don't really realize how big of a role or how important he was in terms of like the chemistry and the camaraderie between all of them until he comes back in Reunion.
Yeah,
and I think you know that this is going to be that transition because you know Oz is back in American Reunion. This is our number 3.
Yep. Nice. Ooh. God damn. Let's mention before American Pie the Reunion comes out, American Pie didn't die. You go from American Pie the Wedding. Pretty much all of the good spin-offs, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are good. Two of them, mm-hmm. three of them. And then we get the reunion. So like, mm-hmm. you know, for some people, like, you know, it's like, oh, why is there, you know, why was there such a big gap? You know, why did it take so long to do the reunion? And it's like, one, because actually, you know, the age of the characters as they are in the reunion actually kind of works, them being a lot older. Mm-hmm. I'm now coming to that age of where, like, you know, everyone's, like, moving on, growing up, quote unquote. Like, but, like, I just want to say that, like, I think, you know, it's not about that. Like, it's not about moving on, growing up. Because when the boys get together, we fucking party, man. Like, even like me and you. Like, you know, like, you know, like, a couple of weeks before I come over in September to celebrate my 30th with you, we're going to be like, right, salads, working out.
And just like, mentally, physically preparing ourselves.
Mentally, physically preparing. Because we know as soon as I land, straight to the adios, motherfuckers. Straight to some
We're
going to
bring the brewskis.
We're going to... Dude, so many brewskis.
So many brewskis.
Like, whatever hotel I stay at in LA, like, ain't fucking ready. I don't want to stay at the Hilton Garden Inn again. The hidden charges this motherfucker gives me? Mm. I was paying for shit 2 weeks after I left. I emailed them and said, please stop. I've paid. Like, what?
I'm gone.
What the fuck? I didn't even buy that much shit this time because we went to Walmart to buy all my shit.
Yeah.
All I did was get waters. Why am I being charged $700? The water wasn't even that good. But yeah, American Pie: The Reunion. It's, you know, it's a movie I'm beginning to identify a lot more. Like, now that everyone's mm-hmm. working, everyone's like going to weddings. You know, we're not always partying, but like, when we get that chance, you know, it's, you know, like, it was nice to have this American Pie reunion movie that's like, sort of, I feel like this might be a cult hit in a couple of years, especially with like the millennials versus the Gen Zs now.
Yeah.
Because there's all these moments where they're surrounded by music they don't know, drinks they don't like, and a generation of kids that grew up with YouTube and Vine rather than actual TV.
Yeah. And one of the, you know, you kind of, you know, the idea of, you know, the boys getting together, and I feel like this movie does a really good job of showing, like, you know, we all have, everyone's going to have their own life at one point. And, you know, you're not always going to be around. Like, you have, you know, Jim and Michelle doing their thing, Kevin doing his thing, Oz doing his thing, and
Kevin's Finch also in this movie.
Like, Finch doing his thing and kind of like, and effectively lying about it because, you know, he knows how his friends perceive him and he wants to keep that going.
It's actually one of the better characters in this movie. Like, if you consider where Finch was in the first two movies as like, sort of,
mm-hmm.
you know, where he was in the first and sort of his goals in the second, it makes sense that his character goes through a bit of an identity crisis through his sexual history. So they gave Finch new life. But again, you know, that kind of left Kevin in the shadows again, just mm-hmm. lurking. They even wrote this motherfucker in a wife that we barely even see.
But I will say what they do with him in a reunion, like, it kind of goes, you know, reintroducing Vicky.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of people who go through that. You know, you meet up with past flames and, you know, you don't really think there'll be anything there, but there's always going to be something there because of the history. And I love the aspect, like, granted, he still doesn't have a lot to do in comparison to, like, you know, the other ones. But I feel like what Reunion does, putting all these guys back together, including Stifler, it shows you kind of like, the core of this movie isn't each character. The core of this movie is these guys coming together as friends, trying to uplift each other.
Yeah.
Even Stifler, in his own twisted, demented fucking way, all he wanted was his friends to have a good time.
Mm-hmm.
And you see that in spades in Reunion. And I feel like one, also, you know, you get, this is one of those movies that it's a sequel that's, you know, long time in the making, that fucking everybody comes back. Yeah. Everyone comes back, even if it's just for a moment or two, but you see them and you kind of get a sense of where these characters are. And it makes sense for a lot of them. It makes sense. Fucking Nadia is married to someone who looks exactly like Jim. Fucking the Shermanator's still around. Fucking Natasha Lyonne's character turns out to be a lesbian. Makes fucking sense.
Yeah.
And, yeah, 100%. And I think what's really, and I think what's really slept on, the relationship that's really slept on in this movie that doesn't get enough love, is Mr. Levinstein and Stifler's mom. Jim's dad and Stifler's mom. Never saw that coming. The second it happened, I was like, yep, that's the relationship. That's the fucking winner. She gives him a hand job at a movie theater.
I'm glad you said that one, because for me, the charm for this movie is only after you've watched the first two. And it's, for me, it's got one of the greatest comedic payoffs of all time. With Finch and Stifler and Stifler. No, Stifler and Finch's mom.
And Finch's mom.
Yeah.
Finch has a mom.
Finch has a mom. Like, honestly, come on.
And on it, oh, dude, that moment is so great. Finch is hooking up with his crush, this chick he's been trying to get with the whole movie. And they stop midway. He's like, I feel like something bad's happening.
Yeah.
Going to happen. Stifler fucks his mom. The greatest payback ever.
Definitely a charm to this movie, but you have to have watched the first two. You have to have watched the first two, but not only that, you have to have experienced them.
Yep.
And let's go to American Pie 1 with the first experience. Yes, this is number two. Mm-hmm. That's only because I think it's hard to say why. And I've put here, it just feels like something's missing. And I think it's because they had this, like, sort of, they all won ending that just felt like just a little bit fairy tale-y, a little bit unreal. I just think, like, some of the relationships would have been better for extra movies, like, especially Kevin and Vicky. Had Vicky actually, like, sort of put her foot down. It's like, all you've done this whole time is just try to get with me. Like, you know, it would have been a lot better for her character. It would have said a lot more about Kevin as the leader, like, actually starting this whole thing. And he's someone that doesn't get it. Oz actually falls in love as someone you didn't think, you know, as the jock finding love. It makes sense for Jim and Finch. Like, Finch needed a win. And it's kind of that whole Finch and Stifler, like, in all the movies. Like, each, like, you know, Finch wins, then Stifler wins, Finch wins, and Stifler wins. All that kind of, like, back and forth. Especially with the way Finch was treated sort of throughout the movie. He, like, he definitely needed something. And then Jim, again, is, like, you know, sort of that virgin nerd losing his virginity in, like, just the weirdest way, just made sense, like, happens for most. Like, it's that sort of, like, you can't force it, it will just happen. But it felt like chasing sex as a story, like, even for a sort of a comedy aimed at teens, aimed at young adults, is hard to do. I think a movie that does it well is The Girl Next Door.
Yeah, I agree. When I was thinking about it in terms of, like, ranking the movies, for me the biggest thing that made the difference was I saw American Pie 2 before I saw American Pie 1.
Okay.
So that was always going to be my number one, because it's what kickstarted me and everything.
Yeah.
But I definitely agree with you. I definitely think that the idea of a story about guys going after sex and chasing sex and wanting sex, you know, in the 90s, it's what you know, all guys want is sex, and it's kind of playing
it's true, but there's like, it's very true for high school.
It's true.
There is a moment in high school where all you and your friends, you've all like you sort of have that mutual agreement. We're all watching porn, yeah? It's like, yep. There's just like a nodding of heads, and that's that, and it's all you're thinking about. Mm-hmm. All you're thinking about is tits and ass.
But there's a moment
for the most part, but like, you know, the way I grew up and the way they grew up in this story, that's, you know, I know it's a bigger thing now. Just need to mention.
And there's a moment in towards the end when they're in the prom, you know, where Kevin's like, you know, trying to make sure that everyone's still on board with the pact and, you know, that everyone's on schedule. And like, you get the nervousness that he's being kind of a dick about it. And Jim, you know, he's like, you know, I hate sex. Like the pressure of trying to have sex as this and that. And it's annoying. And I feel like that's so present. Cause it goes back to this thing where, like, you know, if a girl's a virgin, she's pristine and, you know, she's innocent and she's sweet and this, but what this movie does, it shows very much that for a guy to be a virgin for X amount of time, you're a pussy. Mm. You're gay. You shouldn't have a dick because you're not fucking using it anyway.
Yeah.
There's such a negative connotation with it. And I think it's very much expressed in this bit where he's like, the pressure to have sex. And it's like,
I know it got to a few of my friends. A few of my friends actually spoke to me and said, like, yo, like, try not to bring this up. Try not to bring up that I'm still a virgin in it. And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
And that's like, for me, honestly, there was a point where it never really bothered me being a virgin until I got to just before I graduated high school. That's when it was kind of like you're going to college and you're a virgin. It's like, well, what the fuck am I? That's when like the pressure started, the voices in your head. It's like, what's wrong with me? No one wants to do anything with me. Is there something physically wrong with me? Is there something emotionally wrong with me? You know, the spiral that goes along with that. And I feels like as much as this movie gets, you know, in terms of like, you know, he fucks a pie and naughty with the webcam and stuff, I feel like that's one of the big
Jim
things where it's
wanting
like
wanting sex ruins a girl's life.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's one of the big things. It's like, it's obviously it's played for laughs, but like, it's one of the things that happens.
Yeah.
And that goes along with the pressure of wanting to have sex. And if the second these fucking guys decided, like, you know what? Fuck it. If it happens, cool. If it doesn't, it's not the end of the fucking world. And they go off and they have fun with their dates and stuff, and it happens organically. I feel like that's kind of one of the messages, like, don't put the pressure. If it happens, great. Literally nothing bad will ever happen if you don't have sex.
No, absolutely not.
There's literally nothing bad. There's plenty bad that can happen if you do. And there's plenty great that can happen if you do. But there is literally never anything bad that will happen if you don't have sex.
And like,
and I think that's one of the big things of this movie.
The movie explored that, like you said, during the prom. And then just completely undoes it with the party scene afterwards.
Yeah. But I think when it comes to the party scene, I feel like I said, these guys have effectively released themselves of this pressure.
Mm.
And it just kind of happens. Like you said, Oz is in love. So he makes love. He has sex with a girl that he's truly in love with. Jim, he's a freaky.
Again, can't remember a character. I just know Mina Savari.
Yeah. Like, Jim's a sex-crazed, insane fucker who hooks up with another sex-crazed, insane. She stuck a flute in her pussy at band camp.
This one time in band camp. We'll come back to band camp.
And you know, it's a relationship that makes sense. Finch and Stifler's mom, that's just funny.
That's just funny.
Fucking funny.
It definitely feels like Kevin and Vicky, like, especially going through into the second movie, and then I feel like if they'd found a way to sort of maybe have her come to the wedding, and then reunion, like, you know, the departing of Kevin as one of the leads is the worst thing American Pie did for me.
Yeah. And what I loved about, you know, the relationship between Vicky and Kevin at the end of the first one was like they both put such high expectations on sex. They both expected sex to push the relationship forward.
Yeah.
Completely unaware or just in complete ignorance of the fact that sex could effectively kill the relationship.
Yeah.
Which is basically what it did.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point.
And it's crazy to think that. Because Vicky's whole thing is she wants it to be absolutely perfect, and she wants it to be amazing and this and that. And fucking Kevin just wanted to have sex. Until she said, "Let's have sex," then he started freaking the fuck out.
Yeah.
He now? Was all talk and
not now. After prom.
Oh. And I think, you know, you and I think, you know, the way it ends, leading into our number one, American Pie 2, just, it takes what American Pie did and amplifies it in the best possible fucking way.
Amplifies it. And I've got it noted here. I'm going to read out everything I've actually written for this one. So just go with me here. So American Pie 1 rated 7 on IMDb, just clean 7. American Pie 2 rated 6.4. Mm-hmm. Take with that as you will. But I think if you understand American Pie 2, there's a reason why people, I think, around me like this movie more. So I've put here, there might be a few words, some punctuation. Road trips, guys trips, holidays with the boys. This movie started that. My brother did it. I did it. I see people I used to game online doing it. Whether you saw this movie or not, everything about it has a real life moment for me. Going on holiday, you want three things: booze, sex, and a great soundtrack. 100% of the time, you get booze and a soundtrack. Chasing Sex was the first movie. Yes, it passes on to this movie, but that's because it's everything. It's everywhere. Whether you're straight, gay, bi, you're looking, like, if you're not looking for it, what are you doing? Not everyone admits it. But this movie is so much more. It's about chasing memories. Every holiday with the boys is about creating memories, doing dumb shit, and keeping the party going. And did I mention the fucking soundtrack? you know me. What is the one thing I do before every time I come to LA? If the year has changed, I go back into that playlist. I add some, I take away some, but it gets renamed to LA. Like, I think I've had it since 2018 when me, yep, you, and John went to Vegas. And then it evolved to LA 2019, LA 2020, yeah, LA 2021, LA 2022. And now changed this year to LA 23. And next year, it's going to be renamed Vegas 24, motherfucker. Even though LA is there as well. But the main part of that holiday is Vegas. Yeah,
Vegas.
Like, this movie for me started the... Like, even though the characters don't know the soundtrack's there, but I'd like to think that they do.
Mm-hmm.
When they're driving, like, that's why Blink-182 is playing as they transition from East Great Falls to Lake Michigan, even though it's not filmed on Lake Michigan. Filmed in fucking California. But yeah, it's like, it's something everyone does. I think I followed my brother. I saw my brother goes on boys' holidays, so I was like, shit, that's what I need to do. And I didn't realize, wait, we both do it because that's what this great group of friends that sort of have this, you know, meaningful, like, first movie together. They're like, that moment at prom, it really solidifies the boys as being a friendship. Because up until that moment in the first movie, the only time they're really all together is the beginning. The way the movie kept going in the first one was that the boys separated on their own journeys, and it wasn't until they banded together could they actually sort of help each other get sex. They felt like, how are other boys going to get my dick sucked? Like, this movie, it's almost every scene is all of them coming together for memories. Exciting, funniest ways. And I think the funniest American Pie sequence of all time is Jim and the Super Glue, man.
That is pure poetry.
That is pure comedic Jim, dude.
Poetry.
And we're like, that's surely like Jim's dad isn't only like that sort of seeing them off at the start. No, he comes in and he has that sort of moment in the hospital. And it's just, it's like you said, poetry in motion. It's like watching Messi, like Messi on the football, poetry in motion, liquid football.
liquid
football. And I just think everything about this movie, start to finish, is just, I feel sorry if you never had that group of friends to go on holiday with. If you haven't had that like chance to create memories, like not just now as like an adult, like speaking to people I know, you had to have had it as like that sort of transitioning age, and I'm talking like 16 to 21.
Anyway,
luckily I sort of continued mine because after I was 21, I immediately went to fucking LA for 3 years, but I was one of the youngest in my class. And I was there like, you know, I was there like doing shit. I was like, you motherfuckers should be like doing this. Why are you still studying? Like, oh, because you've spent years not actually doing this shit. It's nice to finally have you here. Like you big dumbass. But like, you know, we went on all these amazing trips together. You saw me as someone who, like, we idolized the same shit, and he was like, this motherfucker never got any of this shit in America. Let Uncle Sebi show you the way. That's a bit creepy. That's a bit, goddamn. But, like, you know what I meant? Like, you kind of took me under your wing. And, like, you know, you've allowed me to sort of lead the way with these mainstreams and these OGs. I'm going to let you talk a little bit about American Pie 2. But I just want to set everyone up for the, like, next week's episode where you're going to be taking us through the spin-offs. Because I didn't even know those existed until you were here. But I think both me and you, even before we met each other, like, you know, American Pie 2 meant a lot to both of us. But I think it meant a lot more after me and you like sort of like went on holidays, like we went out, you know, our, you know, trips to Vegas with John, our trips to Vegas by ourselves, even though that wasn't a group of friends, like me and you.
Dude, had our trip to fucking Michigan.
Like our mentality is definitely multiple people. Like, like when one of us starts drinking, we could easily convince the other one to start drinking. Like,
It's not difficult, no.
And but then, like, you know, like I introduced you to like Mike and Ryan, and you were like, "Oh, there's two more fucking Eds." Oh shit!
Oh my god!
I'm not gonna live. And we were fucking Top Golf, 10 o'clock in the morning, Mickey Ultras in a bucket.
Yeah.
Ryan getting asked to like, "Hey, can you teach my son how to hold a golf club?" It's like, ma'am, we've driven 4 hours. Big man had two beers. He's gone. He's gone.
He's been gone, bro.
Been gone. He can show you how, but he's going to want something in return. Yo, where's that link at? it's a movie you watch and it's a movie you experience. And just the two just seem to glide before every big road trip, you know.
Yeah.
Before we go to Vegas, Ocean's 11. And if there's time, 21. But, you know, but before every big road trip, I feel like, yo, let's, you know, let's find a moment to watch American Pie 2. The original Road Trip. Road Trip, the fucking, the, like, the unofficial American Pie spin-off.
Mm-hmm.
Road Trip exists because of this American Pie movie.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and it even has Sean William Scott in it. Basically playing Stifler.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
But yeah, take it, like, sign us off. Sign us off with American Pie 2, man.
I mean, you hit the nail on the fucking head, bro. Like, for me, anytime I would watch this movie, I was just like, the idea of just a bunch of guys getting together for a vacation to just, you know, drink and chill and do crazy shit and just have good fucking times. I attempted to have it in my, when I was doing my undergraduate stuff, but it was just like, there wasn't anything massive. And then you and I met, and then it felt like we were both looking for that same thing. It wasn't just about going to film school. It wasn't just about learning film. It was just like, It as much as that is, you want to experience life because that is going to make your shit so much better.
I learned in film school that, you know, great movies come from great life experiences.
Yeah.
And I learned learned more from you than I ever did from that school.
You know, we did, like you mentioned, you did Vegas trips. We've done fucking San Diego. We went to fucking Michigan. We've done the UK. And it's like, and, you know, you watch this movie, the story of these guys at a point in their lives where they're like, you know, they don't want to let go of that friendship. They're growing up and, you know, they're in, you know, college and this and that and trying to figure out where their lives are going to take them. But, you know, they still want that perfect summer with the boys, that perfect summer where you're just like, you know, we're just going to hang out. We're going to be friends and we're going to make sure these memories last because We're not always going to have this chance.
No.
We're not always going to have the opportunity to be together and to do that. And it feels like you look back at one wedding and reunion. It's very true. Everything that they were trying, that they feared in two comes to pass. Because it's very, and I think that's why two is probably the most important because it's the most, it's the one where they come to realize what life is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, that's not it. We need to come together. We need to make these memories because these are the memories that are going to get us through the hard times.
Yeah.
And everything happens here. Everything happens. You fucking Jim and Michelle get together finally, and you know Oz and Mina Suvari's character, their relationship continues to grow. I don't remember what the fuck her name is. And Finch with the tantric sex and shit and like trying to store himself up, prepare himself for Stifler's mom. She never comes or whatever. And then Stifler with the two chicks and then the finale.
Shermanator, bro.
Even Shermanator gets Nadia.
What a win.
The Shermanator gets to have sex with Nadia. There's, you know, it's that the moment at the end of the movie, you know, everyone's dancing and you got the music playing and they just all kind of look at each other with, you know, they each have a drink in their hand, smile, nod. And it's all of them because they know in that moment they accomplished what they set out to accomplish. These are memories and moments that are going to last with them forever. And they fucking did it and they fucking did it together. That's American Pie 2. That's American Pie in general.
But not the spin-offs, which we'll come back to next week.
Yeah, we'll get to those. Those are a whole other fucking rabbit hole, but we'll get to those. I think in terms of American Pie as a movie series, what they represent is it's one of those things. It's a quote from How I Met Your Mother. You know, it's Barney Stinson, the idea of, you know, nothing is legendary unless your friends are there to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that's about, American Pie.
It's like, even though, you know, it was a shame, well, not a shame, but like, you know, the first one started white as fuck.
Yeah.
And so, like, we had to keep these guys. But, like, you know, it is. I don't give a shit. It is, like, it's that mentality of, like, here's a group of guys just going through it, growing up, do it, like, chasing sex, chasing memories, chasing a future, and then chasing the idea that they're still friends.
These are movies that anybody and everybody can relate to.
100%.
If you've got a group of friends that you've been with for a long time,
you're watching them get married now.
You're going to see yourself in these movies, whether you want to or not, whether you believe it or not. You're going to see it, and that's just the magic of American Pie.
That's the magic of American Pie.
I don't know what to tell you. And I think that's going to be it for this time.
Sign us off, bro.
Sign us off. All right. Remember, thanks for joining us, everyone. Remember to like, rate, subscribe, share us. Let us know what are your favorite American Pie moments. What are your favorite, you know, just friendship movies in general? Let us know. And we'll come back next time. We'll talk about some spinoffs and just blow your mind with some of them because they're fucking nuts. But yeah, keep on freeballing, everybody. On this trip, now I'm
imagining throwing out the scripts. Come on, man, come join us on the trip. I'm sorry, now we're throwing out the scripts. I hope you don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.